Welcome back to Radio Rothbar. This is Ryan McMakin, a senior editor at the Mises Institute, and with me is Tho Bishop, my associate editor. And we are back, and we're going to be talking about this time critical race theory, but not so much the theory itself, but really just the whole notion of what should schools be teaching in terms of ideology in their quote-unquote social studies classes? And is it possible to teach this sort of thing in a school at all and not have it be biased? Can you teach moderate or conservative ideology or just something that is neutral in a school setting, in a public school setting, and you just don't have to worry about it? You could just, as parents, confidently send your kids to school and they're just going to get the facts. So, Tho, how are you? It's good to be back together with you.
Yes, excited to be here. And I think it's a good topic. And I think the intersection of the state and education, I think, is one of those things that we often, you know, in our circles, I think we understand the importance of it. But I think that's one of the areas where conservatives have perhaps not been nearly red-pilled enough in the past. And I think this discussion has pushed this to the forefront in a way that could be create some interesting opportunities for those genuinely interested in declawing some of the worst tools the state has.
Yeah, and I think the reason this comes up, of course, it comes up a lot if you're paying attention to this topic in general over the years, but I've been noticing just in my news feeds and YouTube's trying to send me videos on it, you know, videos with titles like "Parents Have Epic Comeback to School Board on Critical Race Theory" or something like that. Usually the video is much too long for me to click on it, but I do notice that it's there. So apparently, this is something I'm supposed to be worried about, but I'm out there looking at it, and I've seen previous cases where there's a debate over what should the history classes be teaching. And sometimes it goes in the opposite direction, like Jefferson County here in Colorado several years ago had a debate over patriotic history curriculum. And this is the idea that you should only be teaching good things about America and American history. And I think the opposite is true, at least that's the impression people have on things like critical race theory. Now, when I was in graduate school, we had critical theory, and we just talked about it, and we just called it critical theory. It was accepted as essentially a Marxist thing. It came out of the Frankfurt School with Herbert Marcuse, and we didn't use the word Marxist as a pejorative. It was just a statement of this kind of fell into the category of Marxist-type ideologies. And even though I recently read an article in Yahoo saying that critical race theory is a terrible term because it has these ominous overtones, I don't really see that. I don't see anything wrong with the term critical race theory that makes it necessarily biased or something to be frightened of. But nevertheless, this is the term that we're attaching a lot of this resistance that we're seeing to in some of the school districts. And so what does this look like usually? Like what are the parents saying? What is kind of broadly speaking just the debate here? What do school boards want to do? Or do they deny they want to do anything? What's the story there?
Well, kind of to your point, like one of the interesting things is that the discussion right now is that, oh, well, you know, this debate has been tainted by, you know, Tucker Carlson and conservative commentators that want to poison the well so that the words critical race theory become like this big boogeyman and like, oh, you know, what it really means, they're just trying to whitewash the teaching of racism in America. And of course, this is absurd. Critical race theory is, you know, I don't claim to be an expert along the lines of there's the James Lindsay's of the world that have some of the more popular books out there right now. You know, but ultimately it's, you know, kind of the perspective that it's impossible to disconnect social injustices and internal prejudices when looking at people of various other demographics. And so, you know, if you are a straight heterosexual white male teacher, then, you know, there are implicit biases within that. And if you look at racism as institutionalized power over others, then, you know, the entire history of America has to be portrayed through this very cynical race-centered lens. And of course, I think this is something that we have seen really take over a lot of various social study, you know, social science institutions within university system. And now we're seeing it make its way through K through 12 education in much the same way. You know, we've seen different historical narratives both from the left and kind of like the Howard Zinn History of America sort of approach, and of other times, you know, the more patriotic style education curriculums out there. You know, we've seen that play out in some of the historical battles, but again, this is something that is part of the way that the education system as a whole, it's something that's kind of saturated, I think. At least the concern is various aspects of the state-controlled educational apparatus. And of course, the idea, you know, there's a long history of the state curriculums being used for explicitly political ends. This is nothing new with critical race theory. This is simply the latest flavor of it. And again, I do think that there are genuine concerns here about, you know, various mechanisms of state power trying to weaponize the history of the United States against the founding ideas in the most romantic sense, you know, of the United States. And so there's explicitly, I think, a political goal here. But again, it's something that is not particularly new. And you know, if you think about this critically, you can look back and see other ways in which case, you know, state-mandated curriculums have imposed all sorts of bad baked-in assumptions of history and civics and social sciences broadly in ways that, you know, we should also consider, you know, during this entire debate.
Yeah. Does the details of what critical race theory in particular is even matter, really, when you delve into it? I mean, we could talk all day about its origins and it's how it comes to us through sociology and literary criticism and looks at institutions and how they affect social power and all that. But when I look at these discussions on it, either in text or video, it really seems the issue is they're teaching something I don't like. It's an anti-conservative thing, and I hate that schools are doing that, so I feel like I need to resist in some way. And as you say, though, of course, there's nothing new here. This is just an old, old thing that's been going on forever, and I would say as long as public schools have existed, right? Let's look back at the origins of it. It's always been heavily ideological. It was created really to Christianize Catholics and to Americanize immigrants. And then on top of that, sort of the general structural models based on Prussian education. And so there ain't anything neutral about that or value-free about any of that. The difference was that in the olden days, it was controlled by culturally conservative Protestant Christians. And then at some point, they lost control of that system, and it became essentially a center-left endeavor. And so let this be a lesson, of course, to people who think that, boy, if we just create some more government regulations, some more government institutions, we'll solve all of our problems, because that's basically what happened with the public schools. And so now we just see this all the time. Now, since I'm such a moderate guy, let's assume that we don't even have to abolish public schools entirely. Let's all just agree for the sake of argument that public schools are there and they serve a very important purpose, teaching some math and reading, because a functional society needs people who can read and people who can do some math. Great. Okay, we can all agree on this, right? And does that mean, though, that you need to teach a history class? Does that mean you need to teach all these other social science classes in there? Which, of course, as you know, could be learned through any number of web-based programs or tutors or anything like that. And do people seriously want me to believe that students who come out of public school with lots of good social science classes are somehow more well-rounded or better, more complex thinkers with a wide-ranging classical education or something? We know that none of that's going on. And we're supposed to consider public schools a success if people come out there and they can read and they can do some math. But that basically has nothing to do with history or social studies or any of that extra stuff. And it seems that maybe a lot of the stuff that's just added in there because we need stuff to do all day, right? And I wish more parents, including these conservative parents who think they're deeply, deeply concerned about what their students are learning in school, they should just admit that a lot of the time they're just using the public schools for daycare. And really, the students are there. They need to learn some math and how to some read, and apparently the parents can't be bothered. So they send them to these schools. But to a certain extent, this whole thing over critical race theory seems to me just like a thing where here's this very bad thing that's happening in history class. You need to fight it, parents. And then basically you can go back to sleep. If you just fight critical race theory, then go and stop paying attention just like you were last week. And then we can just go back to teaching the normal stuff to your kids, which of course is all total center left stuff anyway, if not far left. And I don't see any real interest in any of these parents in actually undoing the system, which is firmly entrenched at this point.
Well, yeah, I do think that, you know, there is something that is particularly egregious about critical race theory. I do think that, again, it's really troubling. I don't know if you've seen any of the stories of late, but Barry Weiss's Substack, there was another reporter who did an interview with this woman who was at Yale, giving a talk at Yale about white psychiatry and you know, her going over fantasies of I mean, like killing all the white people. I mean, it's some of the rhetoric that we've gotten from higher education. I mean, there was another paper that came out last week, kind of also along those lines, but it was like a peer published journal about, you know, the problem of whiteness and psychiatric analysis and things like that. And like, I do think this stuff is particularly vile and really, really bad. But as you mentioned, though, there's baked in assumptions that have been so thoroughly saturated within the school curriculums that are far less noticeable and far less heinous. And so I do think that it is a mistake to make. What you don't want to do is to put all of the energy into this one word, particularly when you make the word the issue, the phrase the issue. I know, for example, there have been various Republican state legislatures that have, you know, banned critical race theory, you know, as, you know, within their curriculums. The problem is that I was seeing Jonathan Newman, one of our scholars, he shared a video yesterday about how there was like a webinar with someone doing training for like public school librarians. And like during this training, like the person was explaining how you can prioritize the content of critical race theory without ever using the words. And so like that's the whole thing, is that as long as you have ideologues in positions within the state to impose their ideas on their students, and that is their goal. And I think there's many people in the state education system at a variety of levels that have that as their explicit mission, then simply banning these three words isn't going to do. The problem is that we have to get very serious about the fact that the idea that you can have a neutral curriculum is kind of like the idea of having, you know, fair and balanced journalism, right? All journalistic outlets have an agenda. The question is whether they are upfront with it. And education, I think, is one of those things where it is interesting because, in spite of the fact that obviously there are major issues with the Department of Education and a lot of the center, you know, top-down sort of reforms that they try to do, whether it's Common Core or Bush's No Child Left Behind, the standardized testing, there is a lot of diversity in terms of curriculums at the state and local level. And so I do think that that is one of those areas where you have the possibility, perhaps, of more options and specialized education programs within the existing framework that, you know, perhaps are not ideal from a market, you know, from a free market perspective, from a libertarian perspective, but does, I think, allow for parents and communities to have an impact for better or for worse over what is taught in schools. And that's something that is a kind of an additional part of the lever here, where getting, now you're seeing some conservative groups not simply focus on banning critical race theory, but try to replace it with their own new version of, you know, patriotic education, however you define it. Like the 1776 project, right, was kind of a response to the 1619 project. And so that's, so again, what's interesting is that you have this something that has kind of long been portrayed as a neutral front. Like this is, I think, one of the more active ideological war zones, is this battle for control within K-12 classrooms.
Yes. Well, I definitely agree, right, that if you're paying the bills at the school district level, you should have a lot of say over what's in the curriculum. And it's astounding that there's so much federal intervention in a local school district and state intervention, too. And especially in some of these big, huge states like California, New York, or so on, where you got full-time state legislators 8 hours away determining what's in your local school district's social studies curriculum, strikes me as a terrible idea. And it should be the people who are funding that school district. Even if there is some state money that's going into it, in most cases, the lion's share is coming from local property taxes or other local sources. And of course, it's those parents putting their kids in those schools. So even if we're assuming, right, I never assume that I'm going to achieve some perfect stateless world or something like that. I'm assuming a world that has some local school districts in it. But in those local school districts, it's the local parents who should determine what's in the curriculum. But then back to your issue, right? Anyone who's taught for 10 years or just a few years, right, knows that there's no such thing really to teach. There's no such thing as neutral curriculum in the field of social science. So I taught Introduction to Political Science for about 10 years at a community college part-time, just in the evenings. It was a nice little additional thing I did to my day job. I enjoyed it. And I taught some Austrian economics concepts in that and certainly used them in some of my analysis and things I said. I never used that phrase, which takes us to your issue of course you can teach critical race theory without using the phrase critical race theory. You're going to use concepts from it if you're just leaning in that direction anyway. That's what you're going to teach because there's only so many hours in the day, so you pick and choose what it is you teach. And that's a big reason there's nothing neutral, right? It's not that you set out and you decide, well, I'm going to teach this totally slanted view of everything, and I'm going to make sure and leave everything else out. The fact of the matter is you have to choose. You have to pick what historical events do we mention? Which ones do we ignore? How much time do we spend on this event versus that event? And all of that ends up skewing the tone, the emphasis, the information that ends up getting learned by the students. Now, of course, you want to teach them, if you're a conscientious educator, you want to teach them the things that they should know and that people in the field would know and that we all agree someone who's getting an introduction to political science should know. But at the same time, there's also a lot of wiggle room for emphasis and what you bring in for really illustrations and case studies and so on, and readings as well, some additional readings on the side and so on. And so anybody can decide those, and there's no agreed upon a group of readings or people that need to be read. And critical race theory could choose certain ones that support their theory. So this idea that, well, if we just ban the use of the phrase critical race theory, or we don't use any curriculum that has the words critical race theory in 20-point font across the top, then therefore it shall be banned. It's kind of a fool's errand to try and think that you can just expunge this stuff. And which is why I think it's just so problematic to think that this sort of thing should be taught in schools at all.
Yeah, it's interesting. Here in Bay County, Florida, in the Panhandle, it's a very conservative area. You would assume that, you know, to any degree, the district has, you know, any sort of direct influence on curriculum. It would be very perhaps conservative in nature. But it's interesting, though, because I've been following some of these issues. I've been trying to get some Mises Institute material within our local school system. And at one point, I was sent a presentation that they had from a LGBTQ sort of center that was doing diversity trainings for all of the counselors and various school district staff. And it was incredible because what they were teaching was a watered-down version of critical race theory, though obviously again, the name was never used there. And so again, there's so many ways where even in very conservative areas, there are various types of because some form of diversity training was there was legal concerns if they did not do something along those lines, and so then that creates that void where they then fill it and again they can push an agenda through. And I think one of the things that's it's also important to acknowledge is that this is a very deliberate approach by the left in terms like the left I think appreciates the power of public curriculums even more, a lot more than the right, and you can see it with there, because alongside with this kind of push at various different levels with various different names, you know, this critical race theory-ish sort of curriculum push out there. On the same side, you've had various kind of a rise on the left attacks on school choice, broadly defined, right? You've seen hostile environments to religious schools. I know here in Florida, for example, there is a school voucher program, and that itself kind of is its own debate that I don't want to, that's a whole episode in its own right. But you had a push by like left-wing activists, LGBTQ activists, trying to prevent traditional kind of school choice programs here to be used for any sort of religious schools because of the fact that the curriculum there didn't abide by what they thought was an okay curriculum, things like that. And so what's particularly troubling is when you have a very centralized requirement on, you know, mandating a specific type of state education, then with that additional very ideologically driven curriculum being forced in there, that is where you get the kind of the peak of that weaponization of education. And there's a great Mises quote about how you know, that I think helps provide perspective for just how long this has been an issue. It's from an independent government where we talked about, you know, Western Europe developed a system of obligatory public education. It came to Eastern Europe as an achievement of Western civilization, but in the linguistically mixed territories, it turned into a dreadful weapon in the hands of governments determined to change the linguistic allegiances of their subjects. The philanthropists and the pedagogues of England who advocated public education did not see what waves of hatred and resentment would rise out of this institution. You know, I think our last episode, we talked about, you know, where some of conservatives may have blind spots on some of the demographic issues in this country. But I think there is an additional angle there that causes concern for people. And I think validly so, when you have this very, you know, anti-American history, state-pushed curriculum mixed with a more ethnically diverse America, like that's where you have, I think, a really dangerous mix of institutions actively pushing against assimilation and kind of, you know, shared cultural values. And that's something that again, I think further escalates this very dangerous tension, you know, and just how polarized, you know, kind of American political discussion has come right now.
Yeah, I think you have to keep in mind also, where are these teachers coming from, right? Clearly, curriculum, very important. If you've ever just written a syllabus for a class, right? You're picking and choosing what's in, what's out, what gets taught, what gets emphasized, what gets read. So you've got that on the one hand, and then you've got just the built-in biases of your staff, the actual personnel delivering the message. And where do these people go to school? They go to usually the state universities or maybe to these little liberal arts colleges, all of which themselves are teaching a curriculum, the education program, the secondary and primary education programs at universities are not exactly right-leaning, let's put it that way. So you've got students who go through many years of school, 4 to 6 years of school through that, and then they're teaching in these schools. And you mentioned religious schools, but if you're familiar with the religious schools, you know that even they, since they're drawing upon the same pool of talent of teachers coming out of these schools, they're not really very different from the people teaching at the public schools. So private schools, even religious private schools, there's not a big difference in the staff and their political leanings. So this, of course, illustrates the importance of institutions and ideological training and that old Marxist idea of the long march through the institutions. Most conservatives can't be bothered with this. They think that's too slow. That's too much work. We can't, the universities are lost, even though, of course, universities were extremely conservative 100 years ago. And then the Marxists decided they didn't think it was too much work. They got to the work of taking over the institutions and they succeeded at it. Apparently, conservatives, that's just, you know, can't be bothered. But so the ideological grip on these institutions remains very much in place. And that's who's coming out of these schools. And then that's who's using this curriculum. So you can tell them all day long, don't use critical race theory or don't teach these ideologies I don't like. That's a near impossible order when you've got people who are, as far as they're concerned, just sharing their own personal views about things. Or, this is my favorite, is that people who really, really have a strong ideological position, they consider their position just be the common sense position. And that the other position is like crazies. And you could actually see this if you look up information on that Jefferson County patriotic history curriculum program from a few years ago. You find the columns on it. It's written very much from the point of view of the people teaching history before this patriotic history curriculum came along. Everyone was just teaching what we all agreed was common sense, good, solid, neutral history. And now all these conservatives came in and they want this crazy version of history, this Orwellian version of history that has an ideological bent to it. So they actually see themselves as non-ideological because in their minds, this is just what everybody agrees is the normal way of thinking. And they don't even see themselves as ideological, whereas everything's ideological in reality when it comes to teaching a history class or civics or something like that. And so how do you fight that? right? You got a lot of work to do. You would have to really start to do a lot of work with the education programs at these universities. You would have to really open a lot more private schools and do a lot more work there at the institutional level. And that work isn't being done. So I'm very skeptical that you should really actually just be minimizing the amount of instruction that's taking place in social sciences at all, because this idea that you can have like a neutral social studies class, just I think that just doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, I think that's what makes this topic interesting to follow, because, you know, I think that's kind of been one of the large, you know, the conservative movement in America, right, for decades has just simply preserving the victories of progressives in the past. And it's because the left takes a lot more seriously in trying to accomplish their ideological aims. And so this is one of those battles where like, has the right changed it all? Has the right learned how to fight the left meaningfully? And if they simply think that passing, you know, some very trendy legislation at the state level, you know, solves this problem. And again, I do think it's a problem, right? I think that their concerns are valid. But if that is the extent of their action, then it's not going to matter much, right? Until the right is willing to prioritize with political action, attacking directly the state education, you know, the access of state and education, you know, the university system that's so heavily state subsidized, to the extent that there's centralized dictation of curriculum and standards, without really disrupting the underlying power structure that has given the left so much influence over these things and has led them to have so much influence over the future, then, you know, this is simply going to be a, you know, and 10 years from now, the right's going to be defending, restoring, you know, critical race theory or whatever new, you know, even further left agenda comes up down the line. Because again, if so long as they don't get serious about actually disrupting those institutions of power, then, you know, they can pass all the legislation they want. You know, the left's wheels going to keep on turning.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up with that. I think, my overall message would just be, right, this isn't the new thing. This isn't a fundamental change from what's been going on. This is just the same battle that we've been having to fight for a while. And I don't think if we defeat critical race theory, this solves all of our problems. And for all the reasons you just outlined. So, we'll see how that goes. I'll see how many more YouTube videos I get on people giving speeches to their school boards. But that in itself just isn't going to make that much of a difference, I don't think. But Tho and I will be back with more to complain about some more things next week. I'm glad we're back doing this again, Tho. I think, I don't know, was like George W. Bush president the last time we did an episode of this or something? it's been a while, but let's do it a little bit more regularly. Until then, thank you for listening to Radio Rothbard, and we'll see you next time.